today, a little insight into what it takes to get residency in Mexico. I am not a lawyer. Don't consider this official immigration advice. This is simply my experience as an American citizen getting temporary residency in Mexico and things I've learned about immigration as I went through the process. So first, defining some terms. The term residency. Residency in Mexico allows non-Mexican citizens to open a bank account, travel to and from the country freely, take part in the IMSS, which is a free or low-cost healthcare program from the government, as well as other lesser benefits from being a resident. Now note, not all residencies are working visas. I didn't mention being able to get a job. Working visas are specific visas which allow you the same rights as a temporary resident, plus the ability to get hired by a Mexican corporation. And in addition to the rights of becoming a Mexican person, you also take on responsibilities, right? The big one, of course, being income taxes. So, you know, keep that in mind for your individual situation, whether it's worth it or not. With residencies, there are two types, temporary and permanent. Temporary residency is for 1 year up to 4 years. After 4 years, you can get a permanent residency. You convert your temporary into a permanent. Permanent residency, as the name implies, grants you all the benefits of residency, but it lasts indefinitely. There's no time limit to it. You can keep renewing it as long as you want. But it's just short of being a citizen. You don't get a Mexican passport, and you can't vote in Mexican elections, for example. You can become a naturalized Mexican citizen and get a passport and all the other rights of citizenship by staying in Mexico for 5 years. And to do that, you have to pass a Spanish proficiency test as well as a test on Mexican history and government. Mexico is unique because there's no physical presence requirement. Most countries require you to be physically in the country for 90 days or 180 days in order to maintain a residency. With Mexico, you can have a residency for years and never set foot in the country. So that's pretty interesting and unique. It makes a really good Plan B country. It's interesting to me that Americans always talk about moving to Canada when the political winds aren't in their favor, but not as frequently Mexico. Like if you move to Canada, not only are you signing up for the extremely cold weather, but the taxes are high, cost of living is on average higher, and the healthcare system isn't very good up there. It's ludicrous to me how many Americans consider Canada over Mexico. And Canada has a physical presence requirement as well. So once you sign up for that, you need to be there half of the year to maintain your residency. And I guess that's a little disingenuous. I shouldn't say it's ludicrous because I get it. There is a lot to be said for familiarity. Canadian culture is much closer to that of the US. And of course, they speak English in most of Canada, so I get it, but it's not the choice I would ever make. Then again, if you're tired of US culture, you're probably not going to be happy with Canadian culture either. But anyways, back to Mexico. Mexico is extremely welcoming to foreigners. It's the most liberal country I know of for birth tourism. If you're not familiar, birth tourism is where you travel to another country to give birth. When you have a baby in Mexico, that baby becomes a Mexican citizen, and the parents become residents. Many countries offer this. It's not unique to Mexico, but what is unique about Mexico's program is they extend this to the grandparents of the baby. So you can get three generations of Mexican residency by having a baby on Mexican soil. Very interesting and very forward thinking, I would say. I'm bullish on every country that embraces immigration, and especially young immigrants. So that was residency and citizenship. I should also mention, Mexico has a very strong passport. Mexico is geopolitically neutral. You know, they haven't been in any recent wars, and Mexican citizens can travel pretty much everywhere. It's one of the strongest passports in the world, with visa-free travel all over Europe, Asia, and the Americas, with one major exception. Of course, the United States. The U.S. makes it incredibly difficult for Mexican citizens to enter, which is a real shame, but that is the nature of the world right now. When you arrive in Mexico as a tourist, aka not a resident, you get issued an FMM. FMM stands for Forma Migratoria Multiple. Until a few months ago, it was a slip of paper you filled out when you arrived in Mexico by land or by air. As of fall 2022, that has changed. It is now all digital, and all you get is a stamp in your passport. There is no paper form any longer. You stop at a kiosk on arrival, you enter your details in the computer, and that is your tourist visa. The FMM is granted for up to 180 days at a time. Notice I didn't say guaranteed 180 days. I've read stories online of people arriving at the border or at the airport and only getting 30 or 90 days, but I have yet to meet in person anyone who got less than 180 days. And of course, this also depends on your nationality. The 180 days is for US Americans and Canadians. For most Europeans and Asians, it's 90 days. But beyond that, it varies by country, whether you get 90 days or 180 days or some other amount at the discretion of the officer who grants the FMM. But that's beyond the scope of this episode, and that information can easily be found on the Mexican government's website. Using the FMM, a huge number of foreigners I've met here never get residency. They leave every 179 or 180 days and go to Belize or Guatemala or Cuba or sometimes San Antonio, Miami, etc. for a day or two, and then they fly or bus back into Mexico. I've met people who have been doing this for years, 3 to 5 years, and I've heard stories of people who have been doing this since the 1970s. So yes, it is quite easy to live in Mexico without getting residency. Legally, it is possible. But with that said, what's that saying? It's not the spirit of the law, but it's within the letter of the law. So if you want to make this your home, I encourage you to do it properly by getting a residency. As for the residency I just got, it's a special COVID regularization visa program. To explain what this program is, let me first give you a little bit of recent history, because most of you listening have probably never considered the ins and outs of Mexican residency. So during COVID, Mexico was one of the few countries that never closed travel and had very light lockdowns and restrictions. In fact, there were incentives to travel to some of the towns and resorts in Mexico. I remember in the summer of 2020 when I was in Nepal, seeing a promotion for all-inclusive packages to Cancun for ridiculous rates, like $30 or $40 a night. That would have normally been $300 per night. So Sophie and I were very close to heading to Mexico at that time instead of returning to the US. And consequently, a lot of people had the same idea and fled some of the more draconian government responses like Australia and China and Canada to come to Mexico. And some of these same countries made it hard even for their own citizens to return, so they never did. I did an interview on a different channel, I never published it on this podcast, with a Canadian friend. He ended up staying in Mexico because all Canadians had to do a mandatory hotel quarantine with a $2,000 charge at their own expense.
They put the COVID hotel in place in Canada. So if you went home, it cost you $2,000 for 3 days in a hotel. So for me, it was actually cheaper to stay in Mexico for 5 months, pay rent here and pay rent back home than it was to go home.
And pay that $2,000.
And pay the $2,000 plus the rent I was paying anyways.
And it was cheaper for him to keep paying rent on his empty Toronto apartment and live in Mexico than pay the return fee. So there were millions of people with millions of foreigners with expired FMMs in Mexico who couldn't or didn't want to do border runs because all the other countries in the world had lockdowns. So Mexico implemented a special visa where tourists could exchange their expired FMM for a 4-year temporary visa. Initially, it was supposed to last just a few months. It was a one-time amnesty. Then the government extended it, and every few months since has kept extending it. As I record this on June 8th, 2023, it still exists. That is the program that I used. Now, with that said, certain offices around the country have gotten rid of it. Mexico City, for example, does not have this visa any longer. there are only a handful of places where you can still do it. So it varies from state to state, city to city, office to office. And in order to qualify, there are three requirements. Number one, you have to have entered the country for at least a day between 2015 and 2020. You have to have an expired FMM. And number three, as of the current date, it is again June 8th as I record this, your current stay on that expired FMM has to have started before January 1st, 2023. But stay posted if you're not currently in country, because that date will probably get pushed forward as it has been for the past 3 years. So that's it. You then go to a lawyer or an eligible immigration office if you want to do it yourself, fill out some documents, and you pay the fees. The fees, by the way, were 15,170 Mexican pesos, which is about $900, $871 to be exact, as of this recording. So that's 15,000 pesos to the INM office, Mexican Immigration Office. And then I paid 10,000 pesos to the lawyer as the lawyer's fees. So you're looking at 25,000 pesos all in per person, which is about $1,400 as of this recording. I spoke to about five lawyers before finding the one who made the process the fastest and the most pain-free. So if you're interested in doing this, send me a message and I can put you in touch with the lawyers I spoke to. All of them came highly recommended to me, and I have friends that have used them. The main difference between the lawyers was where they are physically located in Mexico. So my recommendation is to pick the location where you want to travel and the lawyer that you get along best with and go from there. I highly recommend using a lawyer or an immigration representative because, how do I say this? It's a very relationship-based process. The lawyers are connected with people in the immigration office who can make it happen quicker and easier than if you try to DIY it. I have a connection here who tried to DIY it, and he almost got deported and ended up having to hire a lawyer anyways. So don't mess around. Just make sure it's done correctly the first time. As for the process, I did it in 2 days. I showed up at the lawyer's office on a Monday. They printed off the application for me. It was only like 6 pages long. Signed it in a few places, and that was it. I was on my way 10 minutes later. The next day, after the application portion, I met up with a representative from the lawyer's office at the Merida Immigration Office. The agency that handles immigration is the INM, Instituto Nacional de Migración. They open their doors at 9 a.m., but we had to get there early. We got there at 7:30 to get a place in line with about 100 other immigrants. And I got in the doors with the first wave at about 9, since we got there early. There were about five officers doing the paperwork. So we each drew tickets, and each tickets for each window. I was number 7 for my window. And each appointment took about 30 to 40 minutes. But a few people in front of me actually got turned away for not filling out the forms correctly and got told to return the next day. So again, don't mess around, just hire a lawyer. I had my turn at around 11:15, and I was back out on the street with my residency card in hand by noon. And that's it for the process. Let me know if you have any questions or want the contact info for any of the lawyers. And I can't help but compare the whole process to the US green card process. My wife and I had to prepare somewhere between 200 and 250 pages of documents. We had to answer all these silly questions. I remember one of them was, have you ever been part of a terrorist group that tried to overthrow the US government? And then there was about 50 variations of that same question. And then we had to give the US government every financial document, every transaction we've ever made, every address we've ever had. We had to get things notarized and apostilled and sign affidavits. And then on top of that, we had to pay $2,000 for the privilege of filling out all those, all that paperwork. After all that, we had to wait for 6 months just to schedule an interview appointment, which was a further 3 months out. It was a huge headache, and the US government makes it way too hard. It's way too hard. But I digress. I'll take this moment to pitch my Mexico City travel guide. For the last 6 months, I've been assembling a travel guide for all things Mexico City. It's on a Notion document, so it's a living, breathing guidebook. Every time I eat at a good restaurant or I find a cool park or anything else, I add it to this document with a link and a personal review. It's got a live peso to dollar conversion tracker at the very top. It's got my favorite restaurants, dog groomer, coffee, museums, and as I mentioned, immigration lawyers. I will leave the link in the show description. It is free to download, but there is an option to pay what it's worth to you. About 10 people have found it online so far, and most people pay $9 to $11. But again, it's yours for free, so don't feel any obligation to pay. And whether or not you pay, it encourages me to continue making the guide better and putting more time into it. It's called the Ultimate Mexico City Travel Guide, and the link is in the podcast description. If you're planning to come to Mexico City, I think it'll make your trip a lot better. Okay, that's it for now. Thanks. Bye.